Thank you. Thank you, Lord Wardell.
Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I went to Bible college 1988. Had no intention of going into missions, going to the mission field. God had other intentions. Brother Sis came, preached a missions conference that next year at our Bible college, and I surrendered to missions. I can't tell you the impact that he's had, not just on my life, but on so many others around the world. Thank God for his testimony. Shortly after that, I began to pray, God, would you make me like Brother Sisk? And I woke up bald. I said, God, there's a misunderstanding here. I'm talking about a double portion of that man's spirit. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Let's pray. Father, we ask, once again, you'd bless your word. Stir us, oh God. We need stirred. I pray, God, you call a few more of these young people into missions, even this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Young people, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about your 17 miles. Everyone here knows the story. I don't want to get into the background. You're more than familiar with the parable. Christ is going to answer the question of this lawyer by way of a parable. Who is your neighbor? And he talks about the broken one here in the story, a man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho going down. I believe it was total ignorance. He had no idea. He would have never taken this path had he known what was going to befall him. But there in the middle of his journey, he's met by some thieves who literally beat him half to death, strip him of all of his goods and his values, and then they abandon him, leaving him half dead. And young people, we have a world out there that's been beaten up by sin. And it's time that we reopen our eyes. I thank God for the bus routes and everything else that's going on. We're watching too many Christians become angry at a world that can't even identify what sex they are. They can't even remember what their original hair color was, the facial piercings, the tattoos, the divorce, the fornication, the disease, the addictions. Let me tell you something about this world. Most of them did not choose that life. And you didn't choose yours. You were born into that family. I asked myself, how was it that I was born into the home of a pastor? How was it that I never had a dad or mom come home drunk? How was it that I escaped all of the disaster that was in the world? But that girl at 12 that's been violated over and over and over and over again, she didn't choose that life. She was born into that. And here this man finds himself in this condition, totally beaten up and busted up, and this world will steal everything of value, anything good, their peace of mind, their joy, anything decent in their life will be taken by Satan. And then look what it says by chance, verse 31, a certain priest came that way. No, not a Catholic priest. We're talking about back in the day, a man of God. We're talking about a priest and a Levite of the same side, just not direct descendant of Aaron, but one that worked in the temple and one that prepared the sacrifices and played the instruments and sang the songs. And we're talking about the priests and Levites. When we preach a story, we don't make enough application to priests and Levites. If you're here today, it's because you're studying for ministry. It means you fall into the category that Christ is directing this story to and about. The priests and the Levites that were supposed to be the ministers, you know what happened. Let's avoid this. Let's avoid this moment. Let's avoid this man. Let's not pay any attention. Let's cover our eyes and act like he doesn't exist. Now, this journey from Jerusalem to Jerusalem to Jericho was 17 miles. I don't know how often the priests and the Levite made this trip, but young people, we're talking about missions this week. It starts with you getting burdened for your 17 miles. Wherever you go, from here to work, from here to church, wherever you gas up your car, the people that you pass that are wounded and beaten and messed up, young people, I want to confess to you a sin God had to deal with me with. I, in 1986, sitting in a church service, Levon Drive in Dallas, Texas, the preacher, the whole Brother House was there. That's when I heard the four calls to soul winning. But the preacher lineup there was incredible. But God used a message called the Rod of God to speak to me. I surrendered to preach. But during that conference, I told God, I want to dedicate my life to souls and to reaching people. And I did. I kept that promise. I went to Bible college, got involved in bus routes, door knocking, went in souls. I ended up as a soul winning director in Austin for 18 months. And then we went to the mission field, went to Argentina and Mexico. And if you're not involved in souls, reaching, lost, discipleship in the mission field, you're in trouble. Because there's not a whole lot of transfer of membership. If you don't win them, you don't have them. And I kept that promise for the next 18 or 20 years of my life. But eventually we ended up in Austin, Texas. And suddenly I had a Christian school. I don't know how these guys keep up with all the ministries here. And I don't know how the maintenance men keep up with all the ministries here. But just a microcosm of something like this. But suddenly we had a Christian school, we had a small Bible college and a Spanish ministry and all these other things. And here's what I found myself doing, exactly what this priest and this Levite did. You begin your day thinking the ministry is at a destination. You think ministry is at church or ministry is a Bible college class. You think ministry is a bus route. You think ministry is from here when I get there, I'll minister. But ministry is about the road in between.
Amen.
And if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, or anyone else in the New Testament, their ministry was 24/7. And wherever we're going, that was Zacchaeus. That was the woman at the well. That was the maniac of Gadara. Wherever Christ went, he was ministering.
Amen.
And here's what we find. Young people in training, be careful you don't fall into this trap, because we often think when I get to that class or when I get to that bus route or when I get to that jail, when I get to that nursing home or when I get to that Sunday school class, that's where I minister. No. On the way, we're walking over and trampling or ignoring the very people that we're supposed to be reaching.
Right.
God has given you 17 miles and a lot of broken lives. Let me ask you this. If we took a look at your 17 miles today, how many of those people even know you're a Christian?
Well,
how many of those people have ever even heard the gospel? We're so busy, and this is just messy. Here's what that priest may have said. He knew the law of cleansing and said, listen, if I get involved in this, I may have to take a whole week and cleanse myself. What if that person is dead? Years ago, Ashley, she's my medical disaster. She just likes to go to the hospital. But we're in a grocery store in Mexico, and she fell and cut her chin, sliced herself down here to the bone, opened it up, a deep gash. I didn't know. She's not a screamer or a crier, but I could see tears in her eyes. I thought she just fought with her brother. So I just walked up. She was about, I don't know, 5 or 6. And I looked at her. I said, Ashley, we don't fuss. We don't cry over things like this. You need to dry it up. And she looked at me, she said, yes, sir. And I turned around, my wife said, have you seen her chin? I said, no. She said, you ought to take a look at that. And I turned around, and I saw blood dripping off and bone sticking out. And I faint slowly when I see blood, and I just went down to one knee like this. She said, she who is bleeding, cut to the bone, Dad, are you okay? I said, just looking for my contacts. She said, I didn't know you wore contacts, Dad. You know, it's amazing how quickly we faint when given the opportunity to reach someone that is broken and bruised. And now, hold on for a second. There's someone that shows up, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he sojourned, you know, we don't have time for, but he saw him and he had compassion. He binds up his wounds, and here's what compassion does. It stops, it looks. True Christianity, you know what it does during the day? It stops, looks, and does something, reaches out, gives the gospel, helps someone. Isn't it strange, a Samaritan? Here's what I'm convinced. We talk about a social gospel. Do you realize we're responsible for the social gospel movement?
Right.
Because there's a world out there that needs compassion. The independent Baptists with the gospel have not reached out. So the false cults and everybody under the sun, from the psychologist to psychiatrist, have reached out and showed compassion to a lost world without compassion. Did this Samaritan get him any gospel? Could this Samaritan point him to Jesus? All he could do is help him physically. And there's a world out there, they've been helped physically, never been helped spiritually, because Christians have not reached out with great compassion and tried to change a life. How strange is it that you have a Samaritan with a Jew on his donkey? Have you ever seen a John Wayne movie? Wicked, that'll be thrown, expelled from God. John Wayne, bunch of heathens. And Can you imagine if you saw in a John Wayne movie, here's an Indian leading a horse. John Wayne's been scalped. The Indian helped throw a scalp back on his head, and he's taking him down to the local hospital. You'd say, there's something wrong with this picture. Here's a Samaritan with the Jew. There's something wrong with this picture when, as Christians, our carts aren't filled with the broken ones on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Saying, what am I doing to reach out in my 17 miles and make sure these people are getting the gospel? It's just not convenient. It's just too messy. It just takes too much time. I just can't. I can't deviate. I've got studies. I've got a test. Why should I worry about a soul when I got a test tomorrow?
Come on.
Young people, when you come to the realization, the ministry is 24/7. It's not Saturday morning, it's not Sunday morning, it's not Wednesday night, it's not Tuesday night. It's 24/7 saying, everywhere I go, I'm going to drop my phone, I'm going to open my eyes, I'm going to put down my coffee, I'm going to notice there's a soul there, and stop being a Calvinist and saying, if I don't get them the gospel, someone will. No, someone might not. God said, that life, that person's on your 17 miles. You're responsible. Their blood is on your hands.
Good. Come on.
But I'm a Levite and study, so no, thank you. I think I'm going to walk around this one.
Well.
And if we're going to change lives, if we're going to truly have an impact on a lost and dying world, we're going to have to get beyond the behavior of this priest and this Levite and follow after the Good Samaritan. We had a lady years ago, worked in a hospital, and I said, I'd like to get in the hospital, Marina. Can you help me? She was a new Christian. Pastor, here's what I'll do. Next time I have a patient that's dying, I'll call you. She called me in. We witnessed to them. They got saved. I said, Marina, that's the greatest idea I have. Why don't you do this? Every time you see someone close to death, you call me in. I'll come witness to them. And she did. We won dozens and dozens of people to Christ. Just like, not everyone, but often when people are that close to death, very, very open to the gospel. And I went a week. She didn't call me. In 2 weeks, she didn't call me. And I went to Marina after the service. I said, Marina, what's your problem? You are such a great witness, and we haven't spoken in 2 weeks. She said, Pastor, I don't need you anymore. I can do it all by myself. Thank God for someone who said, this is my 17 miles, and I'm going to make sure I'm doing everything I can within my power.
Good.
Now, young people, I'm going to say this, we're going to close. I'm going to tell you about the most difficult faith promise commitment I ever made. So I came back to Austin. I had new responsibilities for the first time in 20 years. Oh, we were still reaching people. We have hunters that go out door knocking. I was still winning people and doing visitation. But my 17 miles, I was walking over more and more of the wounded. And not paying any attention at all. We had a missions conference. The Holy Spirit of God. I went down that altar. He said, you need to stay there for a minute. Because you're talking about reaching the world. And you're preaching. And you're traveling. And you've forgotten your 17 miles. Let me ask you this, young people, before we pray. What do your 17... We talk about missions this week. What do your 17 miles look like? And are you the missionary that God has placed in that company, at that place of business, at that gas station, at that coffee shop, at that grocery store? Does anyone there, have they seen any light of the gospel because of you, the missionary that God has placed? Are you one of the Levites that's walking around avoiding people? Here's what I did that night. I said, God, I'll make a promise. For the next 365 days, every single day, I'm going to witness to someone.
Amen.
Amen. Every now, you say, Pastor, you stop being a witness. No, I'm not talking about every week or every other day or 50 people a week. I'm talking about every single day.
Amen.
I've never had a bigger challenge. Preach, when it comes to money, I can have all my money. That challenge is already over. Whatever God wants, that's not an issue. But witnessing to one person every single day in my 17 miles, that was a totally different issue. My wife will tell you there were nights when I laid my head on the pillow at 11:30 at night, and I said, babe, I have not kept my promise today. And I'd pick up my phone and start calling random numbers. And I'd say, please don't hang up, please. I'm a pastor, and I made a promise to God. It's incredible how many doctors I got to witness. I was preaching a conference in Florida, and he had me in such an isolated place. I had to walk half a mile down to a restaurant to find someone to witness to. There was only about five or six people in there. And I said, ma'am, I made a promise to God this year that I would talk to at least one person a day about Jesus Christ and tell him how he saved my soul. And she stood up, took a glass, put a spoon on there, made a noise, and she told the restaurant, hey, I got a pastor right here that made a commitment. And he wants to tell you people about Jesus Christ. Good. You said you missed a day? I missed three. Now, young people, here's what I'm asking you this morning. Can you be honest enough to say, am I a priest or a Levite that falls in this category of lost world? And from Jerusalem to Jericho, from A to B and from B to A, you know what I do every day? I live my life. I do my studies. I prepare for the ministry. But at the end of the day, there's no light, no witness. And I'm claiming to be in preparation to be a servant of God. I'm claiming to be in preparation to be a missionary. Let me ask you this morning. Then what about your 17 miles? Amen. Father, we pray, God, you'd help us each to take a look at our 17 miles this morning and say, what kind of missionary am I? Who even knows? Would there be someone this morning to walk up here and say, preacher, I want to make a commitment today, 365 days. Would you come make a commitment today? I'm going to take the next 365 days and make a promise to God. I'm going to go until December 31st, and I'm going to witness to one soul every single day until January 1st. I want to make a commitment. I want to hold myself accountable to God for the 17 miles that he's given me.
Let's stand together. If you're still holding back, now's the time to step out of your seat and come. We've heard a lot of good truth this morning. If God has spoken to you about anything along the way, would you step out of your seat and would you come right now? Come and do business with God.